Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Just kidding. Not Mike Crute. Kristen Bry. Filling in for Mike Crute. Kristen Bry from As Goes Wisconsin. Happy to be here. First hour done. I am joined by Brian Kelly as my co-host and friend.
Yeah.
Advocate.
We're becoming friends, Kristen. It's exciting.
Well, we got a lot in common, right? We both got brown curly hair. We're both tall. We're above average height. We're both actors. You know, why wouldn't we be friends?
I don't know why we couldn't be. At least that's what the song says.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we just wrapped up a really powerful, I thought, conversation with two people who are representing Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, which is C3 versus C4. And so just wanted to make sure that there is Planned Parenthood that does policy and advocacy work. And then there is also Planned Parenthood that is totally non-political, that is just a healthcare provider. But talking about the pending, looming abortion ban, and that Wisconsin is one of the states that, if Roe gets overturned in the next week and a half, we will revert back to an 1849 law that says basically all abortions are illegal, including for rape and incest. And the only one, I think, the only situation potentially is the health of the mother. And because we have a state government that cannot compromise or work together, that is a stalemate as far as any movement. But I want to take a couple calls, because I think hopefully there was reactions from that conversation. And then we will talk about the Marquette poll that came out today and kind of how close all these races are, and specifically how close, pretty competitive primary for both Senate and for governor on each side of the aisle. And so for now, though, let's take Mark from the SAC. Mark, how are you doing?
Mark?
Mark is gone.
Oh, man.
Who else do we have on the line? Is there any other callers that we...
We got our buddy Ken Bob from Daleyville.
Ken Bob, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. You guys are doing great. It's a great show. That was a very powerful hour, that last hour. I just have one thing I'm feeling. This thing that's coming up, I think, is going to be such a gut punch. And the only appropriate reaction I think that women should have, if this ruling is as bad as we're afraid it's going to be, is at the moment of the ruling, just to scream at the top of their lungs and let those bastards know what they've done. And that's pretty much all I can say.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the points that Allison made was, you know, sometimes there's those of us who pay attention to the news a lot, right? We are consumed. We make our living talking about the news, like I do, like everyone at this radio station does. And so it is part of our job description is to stay up to date and have an opinion on what is happening in the news. And sometimes it's easy to forget huge swaths of the population that do not do that, that do not obsess over the news. You know, I have an interesting anecdote from a friend, an old girlfriend of mine who lives in Texas and has lived in Texas since 2009, because that's where she's from. But she went to school with me in California. And I asked her, I saw her in person for a wedding in October, which was a couple weeks, maybe a month after Texas had put their 6-week abortion ban out, and it started going through, you know, the every, you know, it was like the civil suit, right? So it was a different tactic that we've seen before. And it was more about any person, any citizen can file a civil lawsuit against someone for, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars if they helped at all to get help someone get an abortion.
Yeah, rat out your neighbor with any suspicion whatsoever.
Yeah. And I remember asking her, and she's someone who certainly watches the news. Like she does not live under a rock. She's very smart. Like we went to Berkeley together. She is an educated, working, tries to stay active person, but she's also a mom of 2 kids who are under 5 and a working mom, and she's busy. And I remember asking her what it felt like to live in Texas while this was going on. And she was really honest with me that she was just kind of like, you know, I'm kind of at the age where I have my 2 kids, my husband got a vasectomy, and I'm so consumed with my life, and that kind of the day to day doesn't feel like it affects me. And so I'm mad about it. I don't agree with it. I don't want that to happen, but that for her isn't top of mind. And I just wonder how many people, until it happens to you, this will not move the needle until it really shows up in a way that you weren't even paying attention to or expecting.
Well, there's a couple issues as well. It's not necessarily specifically about abortion as much as bodily autonomy.
Yes.
Right now, you can't go and take blood from me if it's going to save the person over there's life. If I die, you can't take my organs unless I've signed a piece of paper while I was alive that said you could. But, you know, a corpse basically has more rights than a woman would in Wisconsin after this gets overturned. And on top of that, once this gets overturned, do you think they're going to stop there? There's also, you know, things that aren't enumerated in the Constitution. Gay marriage, interracial marriage, things like that. They could just say, well, it's up to the states. I don't know. Too bad. And at that time, I mean, it's already almost too late. At that time, it's going to be really too late.
I know. It was interesting. It's an interesting point you made, because I don't know if you saw it today, but Emily Fannin I think she works for CBS 58. She got a soundbite or interview with Rebecca Clayfish, Republican governor candidate, who said she would not repeal or turn back laws for birth control or gay marriage when she's governor, which I thought was interesting, because as the Marquette poll is showing, Tim Michaels has very much caught up to her in polling for the Republican primary for governor in Wisconsin. And I feel like she came out of the gate after she's been basically campaigning for the last 3.5 years since her and Walker were out of office. She's basically been campaigning for governor since then. And for Michaels to come in at the very end and out MAGA her, is this a sign that she's pivoting to be a little bit more moderate ahead of the primary?
Too late. Also, it's really hard to be a strong, independent woman who hitches her, you know, her wagon to Walker and Trump, and that's your identity. On top of that, it's really interesting that she's making promises like, when I'm governor, I won't do that, because Walker, when he was governor, when I'm governor, don't worry, I won't go after the unions at all. Don't worry, it's all. Drop the bomb.
This is one of those history lessons that I wasn't living here when Walker got elected. I remember I was living in D.C. at the time when the Act 10 protests were going. I was like, oh man, like what's happening in Wisconsin, like my home state. But I was not here for the run up to his election, to when he first became governor, and what promises he made or what platform he ran on. But he did run on a platform of very much like divide and conquer, didn't he? Wasn't he kind of like the pre-Trump Trump?
He was. Yes. And by the way, he was also being groomed as well, as far as, you know, Russian connections go. If you remember Maria Butina, that little, you know, Russian little thing, he greeted her in Russian, knew she was coming. Also, they were looking at him because they didn't know who was going to win the primary. They were looking at all the candidates. They were spreading out all their stuff, talking to everybody from the Russian front. By the way, Walker didn't even get a vote. He burned out within, you know, just a couple days and stuff. Burned out a whole bunch of money in 70 some odd days. He ended his campaign. Either way, he lost and is a big loser.
All right. Well, we have a couple minutes before we're going to break, but I thought that was interesting as far as it's basically neck and neck between Michaels and Evers, Michaels and Clayfish right now for, according to the newest Marquette poll, which again, she ran for 3.5 years. And I just feel like, trust me, there's probably 0%, maybe one that I agree with politically with Rebecca Clayfish. If I had to guess, I've yet to meet her in person. I should keep an open mind, but my guess and my instinct is we agree on very little. And it's hard for me, not as a woman, to be like, that sucks. Like, I feel like there is so much internal misogyny that is rearing its head, and that they got spooked that she couldn't beat Evers. And then all of a sudden, this guy who like is a poor man's Liv Schreiber, who happens to also be a billionaire, rolls in as like, I'm the guy. And people are responding to it.
He doesn't even live here. He lives in Connecticut or New York, maybe.
Maybe. And I don't know. Like, I could say that. I feel bad for her. Like, I feel bad that she's worked this hard and to just have her own party kind of be like to backdoor her a little bit, which seems kind of sees what it's like, right?
Michaels was a consultant for her campaign.
Yeah. Because he's ahead by 1 point, 27%. Clayfish is 26%. Nicholson 10. Rampton coming in strong with that 3%.
I want to ask you something. We're going to go to break here in about a minute. Right. I got to ask you, let's pretend Evers isn't going to win. Which one of these people are you feeling even remotely safe with? And you don't have to answer now. I'm interested to know. We're going to talk about the polling and everything, but I want to know, who are you even remotely safe with in this?
I will ponder that during the break, because I think my gut just like sunk a little bit even trying to think of what the answer to that is. So let me ruminate and we'll get back to it. But I am Kristen Bry, filling in for Mike Crute. I'm here with Brian Kelly, and this is Devil's Advocates.
Can we marry dogs?
Having a great time.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Speaking of getting high, I was going to leave this to the end of the show to end on a high note. But did you see that Stevens Point set marijuana possession fines to $5? So they have joined the decriminalization. The other cities that have basically done as much as they could in Wisconsin to decriminalize weed. So that's a good thing.
I'll be driving through there. I'll be happy to know that. That's very good.
Yeah. So that I saw that headline today. But as we were talking before the break, if Evers were to lose and not be our sumo goalie anymore, blocking legislation that would create headlines that make us sound like Mississippi and Florida and Texas. Actually, that's a funny story. I don't know. This was right after our maps came out, where the Supreme Court did, like, the Wisconsin Supreme Court did a switcheroo, and all of a sudden we went from the maps that weren't as bad to the worst possible maps. And I had the gut reaction of tweeting out something along the lines of, my first honest reaction to this news is how much backwards legislation will get passed because of a supermajority that will make me regret moving back to Wisconsin. And my second reaction is, how many other boomerangs will feel the same way? And that started getting more, I don't know, because people were fired up. Then I started getting traction on Twitter. And guess who retweeted it with a certain state senator retweeted it. I didn't even see it. Someone had to send it to me because I missed it because there was so much other notifications. Dewey Strobel. Dewey Strobel.
Dirty Dewey. All right.
Dirty Dewey retweeted my tweet and said, I already regret that you moved back to Wisconsin.
Oh, good. At least he knows you. That's good.
And so, yeah. And so I just replied to him and said, this is not the burn you think it is, Dewey. And, but
none of it is.
None of it is. But my point, I bring that up mostly because, you know, even with Evers not losing, if they were to win a supermajority, it wouldn't matter, right? And which is not implausible in the current state. But if he were to lose, who of the four candidates am I least afraid of? Is that the right way to put it?
I don't know. Kevin Nicholson can walk through crowds really well. At least according to his ads, he walks through crowds like better than anybody else.
I know, but Tim Michaels can drive a car without watching the road.
Well, that depends. Is he in an empty lot with a suit, or is he got his shirt unbuttoned and like he's got,
and
like,
hasn't
got,
shaved,
got like a scruff on? It depends on who he's trying to.
There.
Depends
I know.
On what the demographic is that they're trying. During the games, he'll be the guy with the scruff. You know, during the daytime, he's the scary. I'm a guy, a business guy in a scary lot. Oh my goodness, you guys better vote for me.
I mean, I think the thing with Michaels is when it comes to, I don't know. I don't know. Because I'm not super, like, I will take a fiscal conservative but socially liberal Republican over a socially conservative fiscally, I don't care. That's not really my wheelhouse, which feels more and more of that party, right? And I kind of assumed when he first, especially when that first broke, and it was either going to be Tommy Thompson or Tim Michaels, right? When that was like, all right, well, if Tommy's going to get in, then he won't. But if Tommy doesn't get in, he will. And it was this hope that maybe he'd be more business oriented and more like the classic tax cut Paul Ryan guy versus like, let's not double down on so much of this cultural divisiveness, but it seems like that's the strategy and to appeal to Trump and to appeal to Trumpers. And so I don't know what that would mean for how he would actually govern. I don't even know what that means for how they have to pivot once the general election happens, right? And this is just a race to the bottom to win the primary.
Yeah, I was bemused by Tim Michaels until he said, yeah, screw it. One man, one woman, and Donald Trump's the best. Like, I'm like, you completely lost any possibility of me rationalizing living with you. But now, dude, you're done.
It's like, well, yeah, I know. It's that. And then he also wouldn't say whether or not he will certify the next presidential election.
I can't get into hypotheticals. I mean, it's just too hard for me to think about.
I know. So I don't know. And it's almost one of those things. I asked Jesse O'Quinn from Cap Times, who's the Capitol reporter there. Sometimes I wondered in this last couple of years since I've been back, some of the legislation that got proposed that, you know, was the Heritage Foundation, like these bills that just get written and then distributed to the state legislatures, right? And that's why they all, whether it's the anti-trans
stuff.
Bills,
yeah.
All the Alex stuff. Yes, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Like these big think tank policy places that write bills and then just send them and be like, pass this. And they look basically the same across every state. And there was a part of me that wondered, and I asked Jesse, how much of this is getting proposed because they know it will, there's just almost a safety net and that it will get vetoed as long as Evers is in power. And so they can win points for appealing to their base. Look, I tried to pass this. I proposed this. It got shut down. Rabble, 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 rouse, rouse, rouse. Like, we're so upset. But if we get back to the case of Republican legislature, Republican governor, do they still propose stuff that is wildly unpopular because it's popular with their base, and even though it will likely get passed? Or do they pull back a little bit, knowing that this is not something that their constituents necessarily want.
The best case scenario is the dog chasing the car and finally catching it. That's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's not good. I mean, we certainly, best case scenario is actually going back to having a representative government that represents how 50-50 the state actually is.
Yes, but.
When you look at our, we actually be able to compromise and build coalitions and bills that actually no one's totally happy, but no one's totally screwed either. And so, all right, when we get back, we're going to move on to some more of the more national news. Another thing that is very popular, but has been another thing that's been a stalemate, but we might have seen some progress on, which is the gun safety bill proposal that is coming out of the Senate. So we will go through what's in that and maybe get your thoughts when we come back. I'm Kristen Bry in for Mike Crute, here with Brian Kelly on Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
That's how you chew bubblegum, not just like sugarless extra.
I have a 10-year-old, so more recently than the last month or so, but it is awful.
Yeah. It really gumballs? Hurts my. Does he like gumballs?
They're the bubble yum, the big bubble giant yum. Bubble yum. And
remember the like Big League Chew?
Oh yeah, with the shred.
Do they still make that?
Oh yeah, they still do. It's fantastic. Yeah. Getting kids hooked. I can't wait till I get that real chew.
Or the 3-foot-long bubblegum tape.
Oh, she's got the bubble tape for sure. That loses flavor within like 30 seconds.
Within the minute. All I can think of is now just rushing back to me is all the candy that used to be available at the Little League field in Madison growing up that I would go eat while I watched my brother play. I was dragged along to my brother's Little League's games, and Big League Chew was a big one.
That's a tradition now in Major League Baseball clubs. They all the rookie, whoever's the youngest on the totem pole of the bullpen, always has to carry the snack bag around it. All it has is like sunflower seeds and gum and candy and all this stuff you can chew.
Nice. All right. Well, let's take a couple calls since people have called in since our last segment before we move on to gun control and the new proposal that has come out of the Senate from we have Jack from Merrimack.
Yeah, hello. Which Republican candidate would I distrust the least? And the answer is, of course, the obvious, none of the above. Somehow we've got to wake up the so-called uncommitted or unaligned voter, and they have to understand what this election really is about, and it's especially the case in the state of Wisconsin. The Republicans, if you believe anything they say, have gone full-on fascist. You know, they're looking at almost 200-year-old abortion law, and they want to keep it. If you can control somebody's body that way, and the Supreme Court says, oh, it's not in the Constitution. Well, it's not in the Constitution either that you can't make a law against a particular political party that I've ever seen, at least. And so why not simply say, okay, if you are a registered Democrat or if you voted registered Democrat, here is your penalty. You will not be able to vote. I see no reason, nothing that could stop them based on what the Supreme Court is saying.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call, Jack. But it's easy to imagine a dystopian future of where things legally get stripped away, right? And so I'm still an optimist, but I think that has more to do with how I'm built rather than based in reality, because I think there's a lot of people who are sounding the alarm to not a lot of without a lot of success at the moment. But
I'm totally not an optimist. I know that I'm a cynic, and I know that gerrymandering works because people vote the same all the time.
Do they? Because I only say that because if we talk about Wisconsin again, right? there is in 2018, 12% of people that did vote that voted for Tammy Baldwin and Scott Walker.
About 150,000 people.
And there are also people who voted for Trump the first time who did not. Either they didn't vote at all or they voted for Biden the second time. And there's still a decreasing number, but I do think there are people who are swing voters. And even more so, there's people who, the larger pot is people who don't vote at all.
Yeah, there's a huge group of people who were Trump voters as well as Obama voters.
Yeah.
And they both are proudly voted for both of them. And you know who brought those two groups together? Bernie Sanders.
Are you a Bernie guy?
I'm for Bernie's ideas, not necessarily. I don't care if it's Bernie or not, as long as those things get done. Yeah. That's really what I'm out about. I've been all about since the beginning of time. And he's the first person to go and say the same thing I've been thinking this whole time. So yeah,
got it. All right, let's take another call. Is Mark from the SAC still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here. But, thanks for
holding.
Take my call. Yeah, no problem at all. And thanks, Kristen. Dazzling intellect, dazzling smile. That if you want to say on the Facebook there. That, but yeah, it's maybe what the Democrats have to start playing is that a video from what a clip from 2000, I think it was 2012, with Republican women want Republicans. Kate Beckinsale did it, and the punchline was in their vaginas. And I mean, it just is. Republicans want to control women completely. I mean, and that's, you know, look at Amy Coney Barrett, came from a cult that more or less had men in control, and, you know, the Handmaid's Tale cult, and that, and if you want a, you know, in a nutshell, in a movie, is the first movie that came out with Robert Duvall as the commander, you know, in A Handmaid's Tale. You can see what these guys really want, because they just have seen things go badly as far as they're concerned, and they want to just take control. And as Jack just said, I mean, I wouldn't trust any of these Republicans at all. I mean, that because none of them are good news at all, and Republicans are just going further and further to the right, and they haven't believed in any kind of equality at all for a long time. I mean, for gosh sakes, they were, you know, cutting back on sex education back when Walker was governor. I mean, that it's just a cavalcade of evil. And you know, getting back to, you know, what we heard yesterday, Ron Johnson was likely involved in the fraudulent electors. Well, I mean, I think there's a whole slew of Republicans involved in that fraudulent elector thing, and I think all of them need to be hauled up. And if you're tangentially connected to that, you didn't report the crime that was going on, you have no business being in office.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. You know, I saw someone, I don't know, in all the content that I consume, I don't know where I saw this, but I saw someone, you know, talk about how after, like, when Republicans came back and kind of had their stronghold coming out of the 60s, and they just painted Democrats as such radicals because of all the protests and everything that was the advocacy and the civil unrest for civil rights that was happening. And so there was just this like campaign basically to really be like, this is the radical party, like they're crazy. And I think for some of us, that's very easy to see. Like when you see some of these evangelical preachers who are going viral when they're just going, they're off their rocker, it's like, how are we not doing a better job? I don't know if it's because media is the both sidesism, or and trying to appeal to the middle and not trying to appeal. Like I know I'm biased. Like I work in opinion, right? Like I am not, despite doing stuff at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, like I am squarely an opinion. I am not a journalist. I am not a reporter. I am not objective, but I do try to hear both sides, and I do try to listen to people who don't agree with me. I try to follow media outlets that are notoriously right, just to hear what they're saying. And it feels so crazy. It feels so radical.
We are doing better. That's the thing. Like, the information is now available. I shudder to think where we would be if we had such a deliberate and cynical force pushing against the population 60 years ago, before people could minute by minute see what was happening. I mean, I think if we had a conservative government this powerful back then, we'd be in a much different place. As crazy and sad as that sounds.
Maybe. All right, let's take another call. Angie from Monroe.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about the abortion thing. I think we need to keep talking about how many of these women don't realize they're going to take your birth control. And they've actually said that. They're going to go after your birth control, and they're going to change it to where, you know, how we have rape and incest and all that as, you know, where you can still get an abortion. Well, they're going to change that. I actually saw someone saying that on one of their things that they were talking about, you know, at one of their rallies.
There's certainly, I'm not sure I know anyone who has come out publicly and said, like, as a Wisconsin elected official who's come out and said, yes, the next step is that we're going to repeal access to birth control. I haven't seen anyone who said that. That doesn't mean it hasn't happened. But certainly in other states, I think it was the Mississippi governor that basically, I think he was caught off foot and said, like, if that wouldn't be off the table, but no. And it goes back to the thing that you said, what Brian said earlier, was the dog that catches the car. And where does this small minority of people who, because of their religious beliefs, have an opinion on when life begins and access to birth control and all of these things, there are people who are going to give in to that ideology because they think it's going to get them elected. But just to be fair, I have not heard anyone that is in Wisconsin that has said that is the goal as of right now.
Could you imagine if we gave any sort of credence whatsoever, even half of what we give to the Christian faith? Maybe, what if they were doing the same thing and they were Islamic? What if they were doing the same thing if they were Jewish? What the whole world would melt down and destroy each other over flipping out over that. But if you say boo about, oh my God, there's always a war on Christmas somehow.
There is a war on Christmas. I'm sorry, Brian, did you not know?
I participate in it every year, yeah. The war starts pretty much the day after Thanksgiving.
All right, let's take one more. Bill from Oconomowoc.
Good afternoon. I got to thank you and the whole crew and Mike and his whole business. You guys, I really mean this. I think help bring what's going on to light, because without you in Wisconsin, I don't know who else is. And you guys are doing a wonderful job. But now I can say I'm at peace, because I saw last night they tried to stick a microphone at Ron Johnson. And his hair was disheveled. His eyes were bloodshot. He looked a little bit of a mess. And he says, stay away from me. Stay away from me. He reminded me of Al Capone when they informed him that they had captured his accountant and he was going to trial. I saw a look of terror in Johnson's eyes. And I never thought that would get accomplished, but it's getting accomplished. And now these guys are deciding, well, what do we do? Do we plead guilty? Do we plead innocent? Or do we just resign? They have a few choices. I opt that they resign permanently for good from politics and don't waste the time in court. Would you sign an affidavit that if you ever, ever run or support people for office, you're going to jail? Thanks for the time, and you guys keep up what you're doing.
Thanks so much, Bill. That was a great call. You know, and that's because we're going to get to, we have the audio for, I think it's two different calls. I think there's a call of when he's pretending to be on the phone and faking to be on the phone. And then I think the there's a different video that Bill was talking about, which was from yesterday, as far as the wide-eyed bewilderment of, oh God, that Ron Johnson potentially had. And it's interesting because he could have just not run again. Right? Like,
that's what he promised to do.
Regardless of the fact that he was like, I'm gonna only two terms, blah, 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 blah. But the fact that this investigation, this committee hearing, of the committee hearings we're hearing now, that investigation has been going on for what, 17 months? And he had to have known what kind of stuff was coming down the pipeline. He had to have known what his own let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he didn't know. Let's say it was totally his chief of staff, who he's now claiming lied under oath, and that he didn't know what was in that package. You don't think he knew after the fact? And so the fact that it was either ego or hubris or I'll beat this, because he could have just not run again, and he chose to, and here we are, with him trying to now stave off like any kind of prosecution, I guess, for everything that happened on January 6th and the lead up of January 6th to him, and also try to win election again. So when we come back, we will play that audio from his fake phone call, the senior senator of Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. I am Kristen Bry, filling in for Mike Kroot with Brian Kelly, and this is Devil's Advocates.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom! Freedom!
Did you know that they're coming out with a That 90s Show?
I heard about that.
Yeah. Red and Kitty are back. They're gonna. I think it's on Netflix. I don't know if it's out yet.
Red and Kitty are back?
Red and Kitty, and as grandparents, and it's the focus is their grandkids growing up in the 90s. So unclear who of the Eric Foremans and Donna and everyone, if any of those actors are going to come back for it. But I'm interested what they will nail as far as what it was like to grow up in Wisconsin in the 90s. I was a little young, like I was like a kid. Not a teenager yet in the 90s in Wisconsin, so I'm not sure I have as much insight, but those who are 10-ish years older than me might be able to judge the show on its merits of how much they nail it or not.
Yeah, I really like the show, and I think it's funny they're not bringing what's-his-face back. Not really funny, it's just absolutely horrible that they're not bringing him back, because he's a horrible abuser.
The curly David, yeah. No.
Exactly. He's already
can't
been
remember his name. Yeah, because he really didn't do anything after that show.
No, didn't, and rightfully so, because not a good person, from what I understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of those out there.
Yeah,
as you might have picked up on.
I've heard about those people.
There's a lot of good people everywhere, a lot of bad people everywhere. Sometimes they're more concentrated because they have more power and they abuse it in certain situations.
Danny Masterson.
But, talking
Danny
about Masterson. Abusing power.
I got it, Danny Masterson. I figured it out. Let's abuse good. Power now.
Not David, Danny. Yes, DD. Let's, if we have it, let's play Ron Johnson getting caught in his own tactic to try to not have to talk to a journalist because it's pretty funny.
Know about what your chief of staff was doing with the alternate slates of electors. No, you're not. I can see your phone. I can see your screen.
Your ruse, your cunning attempt to trick me.
Oh, good call. I you know what's funny is I, on one of my As Goes Wisconsin videos, a year ago, because Juneteenth in Milwaukee last year in 2021, Ron Johnson attended. And there was, you know, he talked to some people. And the truth is, I actually kind of give him credit for showing up, because he did get booed, yeah. And he did, but I was just like, it was a weird move that he showed up. And I grabbed the clips of him on the street talking to people in Juneteenth, and him like having protesters trying to talk to him and being like people trying to get into space. And I just put the Curb Your Enthusiasm music behind it, because that's all I could think of.
It's
like, that's what I think of with this same clip of him pulling out his phone, pretending that he can't. I can't. Just ignore him. Isn't that what you do anyway?
Totally.
You're just like, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm walking my car.
Yeah. Yeah. Just ignore. Just say, no comment. I'm not going to talk about it. This is him at the Juneteenth parade, by the way.
This isn't very nice, is it?
This isn't very nice. This is very nice. Booing me.
Getting booed.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the fact that he's throwing his chief of staff under the bus, because who's not no longer working for him. And we heard anything from the former chief of staff?
I haven't checked that lately, but it's a telling thing. He goes through and he throws, first of all, it wasn't even my chief of staff. It was his first day, and he was an intern
or something.
He was from the White. He tried to talk about it. It was staff to staff. It was staff to staff. And I'm like, that's what the guy in the bathroom told you. But no, staff to staff. I'm telling you about this. It's not me. It's nothing to do with me. It's all interns. It's just, these are interns. You got to remember.
Blame the intern.
But then he turns around. And he says this chief of staff, who it is. That was from the White House. His first day, and he came from the White House, and then, we didn't deliver it anyway. Like, he realized halfway through that he just threw the White House under the bus as the reason why. It's amazing.
I mean, it's funny because a lot of the articles that covered this yesterday, they have an image of, I mean, I don't know if it's a recreated image because, you know, there's no blue or green bubbles to know if it was an iPhone or an Android, but literally the text being, Johnson needs to hand something to the vice president. Please advise. What is it? Alternate slate of electors from Michigan and Wisconsin because archivists didn't receive them. Do not give that to him. New number, who dis? Do not talk to me.
Very good job. Please, you wrote that down. How good? How good? Did you know that Manafort got caught because he didn't know how to convert a PDF? That's the whole.
I mean, isn't that like most people over 55?
But that's how it. That's how this whole thing is going to be brought down. Can you imagine if somebody was competent and did this?
Yeah. Sheesh. I don't know, man. Like, and the thing is, I will say this. I said before that I'm an optimist. I certainly have felt like they're all, I mean, we always talk about Teflon Trump, but it kind of feels like they're all Teflon, right? Like the only people who've actually been charged and are in jail are people like the pawns who showed up, right? And the people who just believed this so wholeheartedly and were duped into thinking that they were actually saving the country are the only people who are actually in jail right now. Right? Has any actual elect, like person who had power, have any of them been?
I mean, Giuliani's been, he lost his law license, right? And he's been shamed.
Drunk Giuliani?
He was drunk inauguration night, the first one. When they didn't think they were going to win and he didn't think he was going to get interviewed. Yeah, he's been drunk since then. That poor guy, I don't really think he's a poor guy. I'm not saying America's poor guy, there. Take that out. Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I would hope, I am hopeful that as all of this comes to light, and again, we go back to what I said before, is that there's those of us who are watching this with bated breath and hoping that this makes a difference. I think there's a lot of people. It's good to rehash everything that kind of was like a slow trickle over the last year and a half of what's been found, and to have it condensed and basically put into story form in the way that our brains now consume content and putting it into a sequential timeline of events and who did what and like actually being able to look at it holistically. Is it enough to make a difference in the midterms? Is it enough to get anyone like prosecuted and convicted and not able to be in elected a position ever again? I'm hopeful, but I'm not confident. I don't know how you feel.
I'm hopeful as well, mostly because Merrick Garland's reputation has been to be completely quiet, tight, and sealed until he's ready to go, and then it's all laid out. You're done. I'm hoping.
Hoping. Fingers crossed. All right. Well, that about does it for my first guest host for the day. I mean, for the show, which this was just flew by. I was a little nervous coming in. I was like, where are we going to go with this? I've never done this. I've never hung out with Brian before. But this was very fun. Thank you so much for a great conversation. Thank you to everyone who called in and gave us their thoughts. Again, I am Kristen Bry from As Goes Wisconsin, which you can find at As Goes Wisconsin on all social media. And I'll see you next time.